You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where trainer and trainee discuss fitness, herbalism, and healthy habits for life. We're your hosts. I'm Paula Kirsch, owner of Botanically Curious and artisan herbalist.
And my name is Danielle Kreese, certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. Now, before we get started, if you could do us a brief favor and go to Apple Podcasts and just leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, let's start the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back to another riveting episode of Bands and Botanicals.
Yeah. So, yeah, this week we're going to be talking a little bit about stress.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty prevalent.
Yes.
In our society and in life right now. Speaking of which, how are you doing in general today?
I'm doing pretty okay. You know, we actually had a little bit of stress because we had to rearrange this recording, but it's all working out as it should. So things are kind of feeling okay. I know that you were saying that you have a sleepover to plan for this weekend. So you're feeling a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if there are any other parents out there that have girls that feel the pressure. It used to be totally different when you were a parent. It was like, whatever, go play in traffic, get the hell out of here. But now it's like, okay, you have to actually be kind of involved. And so it's like, okay, what do you want for breakfast? What activities are we going to do? And so, yeah, it's like running little mini events every time my daughter wants a friend over.
For any future event planners, just have some kids.
Yeah.
It'll be your practice run.
Yeah, if you want the most needy.
And they'll tell you their opinion too. Yeah, if you're doing something wrong, they won't hold back. But yeah, you know, exactly what you were saying, whether it's the stress of just kids, whether it's you don't have kids and it's your job that you're stressed about, or the current state of the country, the current state of the world. I mean, it's definitely not just this country or America that is going through some things. I mean, stresses are everywhere.
And the long-term effects, you know, nobody's talking about what this pause that happened for almost an entire year, and it's still somewhat going on, and the economic impact of that for years to come. And, you know, the not to add more stress to your life, people, but, you know, that's definitely going to be a continuing factor.
Well, it's true, though. I mean, without adding more stress to your life, I think just acknowledging that there will always be stress factors and stress triggers around you is an important thing to acknowledge, because you don't have to wait until that stress hits for you to try to learn some tools or understand some things about it so that you can manage it better. I mean, everything that we've always wanted to impart here is about preventative measures that you could take to set yourself up for health and success and happiness. And this is no different. Life is a roller coaster. I mean, that's cheesy, but it's true. And stress is inevitable. So how can we learn about it? How can we use this knowledge and educate ourselves to best manage it so that we can survive it, to be honest? I mean, it is survival. Stress is, it's fight or flight, right? Like, it is legit survival. And how can we support ourselves?
Well, knowledge is power. And that's why, you know, we wanted to start this podcast and do a lot of this and share some of this knowledge. And with stress in particular, you know, just we hear the word balance a lot, and we've heard it a lot in social media and just in general. And a lot of these gurus are talking about balance in life.
Big word these days.
Right. And it's growing in popularity because it's true. How can we really thrive in a stressful environment? And knowledge is really the key. Knowing and keying into those factors of your body specifically, listening to yourself, seeing what things you need. You know, we're going to talk about balancing with qi, which is something from traditional Chinese medicine that is carried on in a lot of the herbalism practices that I use. So we're going to be talking about that. And then obviously some low impact ways to keep moving that you'll be talking about that will allow you to have movement within your body without overstressing your body.
Yeah. I mean, and just, I'll also just talk about how a shift of perspective for exercise can do you some good, because maybe you think that making it to the gym is a stress. Maybe you think that You know, you aren't at that level you want to be, and that's a stress. It's exercise shouldn't be about that. It should be the opposite. It should be medicine. So kind of getting into a little bit of that behavioral part and that like cognitive part, as well as the physical, is going to be something that we get into as well. So I'm really looking forward to this episode.
So diving right into it, why is it important for us to control our levels of stress? We hear about it all the time. We've talked about it on the show, why it's important. There's so many different areas that you can really look at when it comes to stress that there's another one that I wanted to bring up. So constant stress, especially when we're talking about high levels of cortisol within the body, actually causes the hypothalamus to shrink. So the hypothalamus is the part within your brain that actually contributes to the vital roles of bodily functions, releasing hormones from the pituitary gland. And as we mentioned before in the last episode, your hormones regulating a lot of those bodily functions is absolutely essential for life.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is when you're very stressed out for long periods of time, you start to see other areas in your body decline in health as well. So I think we've all experienced that where we're really stressed out and then we have GI issues, or we're really stressed out and then our hair starts falling out, or we get acne, or we all or of these different aspects.
Just getting a cold, you're just more susceptible to
absolutely
feeling sick.
And
in
so,
general.
You know, that really ties into the hypothalamus, the functions of the brain, how that affects your hormone levels. All of those things are tied together, and that's really what we want to talk about here. And then the biggest aspect of why I'm specifically picking out to the hypothalamus today is that, you know, I've talked about this when we talked in January about what my goals were moving forward in 2021, which was more neurological kind of brain health. And the hypothalamus, any damage that is caused, especially by the stress that we're talking about, gives you a higher risk for Alzheimer's disease. So Alzheimer's disease can cause a person to experience memory loss and just the loss of the ability to make new and long-term memories in general. So if you are thinking, ooh, that doesn't sound good, How do I know whether or not the stress in my life is affecting my hypothalamus? So symptoms of hypothalamus disorder, there's that sensitivity to heat, anxiety, feeling irritable, mood swings, tiredness, difficulty sleeping, lack of sex drive, issues with the GI tract like diarrhea, and then constant thirst. And if you're thinking to yourself, holy shit, I've got 7 out of 10 of these.
Sounds like my life. Just kidding.
It's something where it's like, okay, now we're keying into the aspects of our body. These are all symptoms of something much greater, right? And when you go to the doctor's office, a lot of the time they're not necessarily asking you some of these and making them all factor together to say, hey, this is the one thing. Maybe you're a little too stressed out and it's affecting your hypothalamus, which is affecting all these other areas. So that's why we want to talk about it today.
Yeah, I mean, and I like that you're bringing in and talking about, you know, hormones and the hypothalamus. And I like how you made that distinction of that, you know, like some of these hormones are necessary. And we found that out when we talked about with Tanessa that, or one of her podcasts, I think I was listening to it. It may not have been in ours. One of her episodes was how cortisol naturally in our body gets released in the morning to help wake us up. You know, it's not something that it's just like, oh, cortisol, the devil, like we need it. But obviously, just like that word that we just spoke of so much, it's that balance and it's knowing when too much is enough. I mean, some people are adrenaline junkies, but adrenaline is a stress hormone.
Right.
So managing that stress, even if it could be, you know, something that you find exhilarating, is still something to take into consideration, especially if, like you said, especially if in certain capacities, certain situations or certain elevations or levels of these hormones are affecting the hypothalamus in this negative capacity.
Absolutely.
I think exercise is something that we really need to take into consideration when we have stress management. I mean, so often people manage stress through the wrong channels.
Right.
I mean, myself included. So again, anytime I speak, I don't want you to think that I am, you know, living this like balanced, holier than thou life, because I'm absolutely not. I'm right here with all of you guys trying to learn these things, trying to bring these things into my life, trying to stay mindful myself. And I could say that when I have been stressed, my eating has been off, whether that's overeating or undereating.
Right.
I could tell you that when I've been stressed, I probably had more drinks than when I'm not, because, you know, usually I enjoy having drinks. I'm not gonna deny it to you guys, but I never really drink during the week. And even the weekends have decreased because I really enjoy feeling good. Also, now that I'm getting older and it affects me a little differently, right. I enjoy the daytime and being awake for it. So, you know, but I will admit that there have been times, you know, when I'm having a really emotional day, a really hard day, that it's a lot easier to pour myself a glass of wine than when I'm having a great day and don't feel like I need to level anything out, I guess you could say.
Right.
So we go to all of these things. I mean, it could even be the way you treat your partner, people around you. You're trying to manage your stress by taking it out on other people because you think it's a release. And then we always, oh, I'm so sorry, I was stressed. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are things that you could do so that you don't get to that point. And exercise is one of those things that you could do.
Absolutely.
You know, think about those times. And I want you to really reflect here for a moment. Think about times that you had a bad day. Think about a breakup that you had or a time that your boss really stressed you out and you went in for a workout. Granted, there may have been a time where you felt blah and it wasn't the best. But I can almost guarantee you that if you are pissed off at something, you channeled that shit. You channeled that stress into your movement, into your workout, and you left and you're like, whew, that was a good one. I mean, I've had a few breakup workouts in my time and they have always been extremely powerful. And that's all I have to say. So think about how, you know, without even realizing it, without even thinking too much, you may have already used exercise to manage stress, but without putting two and two together, you may not be using it enough. You know, you may be underusing it. And I honestly think that exercise is one of the most underprescribed remedies for, or medicines for, anxiety and depression and stress and everything that all plays into each other, because that's a vicious cycle when you get into all of those three too, because they all meld together. But you know, movement is meditation and motion, exercise is muscular meditation, exercise is movement is medicine. So I know I just repeated that in a variety of ways, but it's true. And we need to start remembering that and not just looking at exercise as a stress.
And then, you know, you mentioned prescribing exercise, and I know there's people out there who have gone to the doctor, the doctor shluffed off some of the things that they've said they had symptom-wise and all these things, and just blatantly said, you know, almost in a judgmental way, you just need to exercise more. You just need to move your body. But then there's not really anything additionally to that. They're not looking at their diet. They're not looking at other aspects of their life. And so this is where you're taking the power back for yourself. You're tuning into your body and you're saying, okay, this is where I'm at. Maybe you're so exhausted in the morning, you wake up and you're like, oh, this is going to be a shit of a day. Like, I've had those days and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to work out. I'm already exhausted. All these things. Well, the great thing about what we're talking about today is you don't have to go in and have this balls to the wall, high impact workout, especially if you're already at a high stress level, that's not going to help your body, your hormones, your health. And so we've got a variety of different ways in which you can do that. Some days you want to just punch the shit out of a punching bag. Other days it's going to be something more low impact, which is going to be great.
I mean, that's what's amazing about exercise, is that in order to reduce your stress levels, it doesn't take much. You could go for a walk and tell me that you have not experienced this in your life where you are stressed and you're like, oh, I just need to get out of the house. You go for a 10-minute walk, you feel the sun, you move your body. Tell me that does not make you feel better. I wouldn't believe you. Unless you have this, like, unless you're allergic to the sun or hate nature so much, then one, I don't know if we'd get along. No, I'm sure we would.
Hate nature. Damn birds.
I'm sure we would get along, but I would still be like, eh, I don't know about you. But it doesn't, like exactly what Paula said, it doesn't have to be a high intensity workout. For some people, that works. And on some days that works, but on other days it doesn't. And that walk, or that stretch, or even that breathing, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, can be just as beneficial to decreasing your stress levels.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we talk about balance all the time, and I mentioned qi. And so with traditional Chinese medicine, this is brought up a lot because it really is encompassing why they're looking at energetics and some of those other areas of the body, and how that all balances chi. For those that aren't as knowledgeable in this area, you can really look at it as your life force, the battery within your body that is tied directly to your adrenal glands. So it's really going to be that barometer that says, okay, we're at a really low level, we're at a really high level. And it's making sure that you're kind of in between there, you're fully charged, but you're not overcharged, you're not overheating, you know, those types of things. And so firstly, what we really want to look at is your diet, right? Besides exercise, it's really those macronutrients. Are you cutting out a macro group? Right? We talked about this before. Mm-hmm. You do not want to cut out big, and there's diets out there, that low fat diet, no carb diet, all these other diets that could really be contributing to a lot of those imbalances within your body. You know, low fat diets for the longest time, for women in particular, you know, really the age of like our mothers at this point, we're told that, you know, low fat is horrible, don't eat it. Well, all the hormonal imbalances that happened, then those women then had babies with those imbalances within really the cells and the eggs within their body. And then that's carried over now into our generation. So these things are really important. Not eating enough fat, you're going to probably experience hair loss. You're probably going to experience low libido. You know, there's definitely some issues with cutting out different macro groups. So make sure you're really getting a balanced diet if you want a balanced life. It's that important. Also really looking at collagen and collagen support. So after the age of 25, your body essentially stops producing collagen, like additional levels of collagen. And so that's when we start seeing saggier skin and things like that. And so, you know, 25 into your 30s, that collagen level just starts depleting year after year after year. And with constant levels of stress, you're going to see your skin health decline. You're going to see your gut health decline, because collagen is really important for those two areas within your body. And so focusing on bone broth or different kinds of foods to make sure you're getting some of that collagen within your diet, those things are really important to kind of balance your chi, balance your energy. And it's the same exact reason why we talk about adaptogens so much, because the Chinese medicine, herbalists, everyone who kind of does more of a naturopath-based healing practice knows that adaptogens are necessary for balancing out stress and anxiety and emotional stress specifically, because you're throwing out your hormones, you're doing all this. We talked about how it's going to give you mood swings, and you just feel like you're on this chaotic roller coaster, tornado, whatever it is. And no matter what you do, you just can't stop. You can't get off. Well, that's because one thing affects another thing. And all of a sudden there's just a cycle within your body where there's so many broken down pieces and parts. It's no wonder you can't get ahead. You can't thrive. And there's no way you can cut out stress in your life. There's a lot of people that are like, I'm not even going to listen to this. If you're telling me I have to cut out these stressful aspects of my life, I just can't, you know? And so that's why we're talking about a lot of those. And then also fear and worry. We're going to talk about here in just a minute, different types of stress affecting different areas of the body even further.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, before you get into that, just that little bit of exercise reduces the level of those stress hormones. And then it also releases endorphins. Mm-hmm. And I kind of brought this up to Paula already, so we're giggling to ourselves a little bit. But immediately, I hear the word endorphins, and you definitely have to maybe have been from that generation. But I immediately think of Legally Blonde. Mm-hmm. Judge me if you will. But I think it's when they're talking to Ali Larder's character, and they're talking about asking her if she murdered her husband, right? And she's like, exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't kill their husbands. They just don't. And I always laugh at it. And obviously that's an extreme example. No one's killing their husbands. But the release of endorphins does have that effect. You know, you talk about that runner's high, or the way that you feel after a workout. It's your body's natural painkillers. It's a mood elevator. I mean, you don't have to be a runner to have experienced feeling good after you're done exercising. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to touch on that, because as a personal trainer, as someone who has worked at the front desk at quite a few gyms at this point, it's something that I've really been able to observe. So even just I taking away the science of it all, I have watched people walk into a gym with like the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they don't smile and they look exhausted and they hardly even glance up at you when they walk into the gym. And you ask them how they are and they mumble something or speak of some stress that's happening in their life. And more often than not, the way that they would leave the gym was completely different. Mm-hmm. They walked with their shoulders upright. They had a pep in their step. They had a smile. I'm not exaggerating to you guys, and I'm not bullshitting you, and I'm not making this up. I've seen people who have joined a gym and who those first couple of days they walked in with fear, literal fear in their eyes. So much stress over the intimidation of movement and of being in the gym in the first place. And then after they're there for a week, after they're there for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. the smile and the way that they walk into the gym is completely different.
Right.
And it's because without even focusing on weight loss or numbers or any of that, mm-hmm. you're lowering those stress levels. You're upping those endorphin levels. You are feeling a change in your body, even if you don't see it initially. Mm-hmm. And all of those things contribute to your mood, to your confidence, to your energy. And all of these factors play a role into your stress.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and that's why it's so important to talk about and recognize and acknowledge, because there's so many triggers, but then there are also so many things we could do and so many parts of our life that we could pull from that will benefit other parts of our life. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, the social benefits of it, and then also the not social benefits of it. I mean, Paula and I talk, she's a mother, she's a wife, she also takes care of her grandfather. To have time for herself helps her release that stress. You know, I don't have that. I have my husband, who I love oh so much. And he's my best friend, so we're with each other all the time. But I love being a part of a class where I see a girlfriend or something, and it becomes an enjoyable thing. Like this idea of exercise as punishment, this idea that exercise has to always be the highest of intensity, this idea that exercise has to always be an hour or has to be intimidating, that all is going to lead to stress.
Right.
Exercise should be relieving your stress. Mm-hmm. Exercise should be your freaking therapy. Paula and I did an event, a tea and boot camp event. Mm-hmm. And one of the people who came, and I don't know if you remember this, but she is a kindergarten teacher who has been teaching kindergarten on Zoom. Ooh. And I literally could not fathom.
I just throw that out the window. What's the point?
I literally could not fathom what that would be like. And we had a section of our boot camp where we were using slam balls and medicine balls, and they were slamming the shit out of these balls into the ground. And no one slammed harder than this one woman. And I was like, whoa. I was like, I'm not going to say her name, but I was like, you must have really needed this. And she was just like yelling. She's like, I am a kindergarten teacher on Zoom. And she was just slamming it. And you could tell that all of that stress, all of that emotion, all of that frustration, she was channeling it into the best workout she could have. Oh, and yeah. She was releasing it. Mm-hmm. And there was we had tea afterwards and a lovely conversation, thanks to Paula, but there was a calm afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people out there that care deeply about the jobs that they have and the things that they're doing and the ways that they're contributing to the community right now, but they're hitting a brick wall, you know, for whatever reason it is, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's funding, whether whatever. And it's exhausting to constantly be so invested in something to then meet a brick wall every time you try. You know, you're being defeated time after time after time. And really, when we're talking about thriving here with stress and everything else, a lot of the things that Danielle's keying into is fantastic. But the one thing that really was interesting was, you know, in the gym, it's intimidating. Yeah, absolutely. But a way to actually thrive in the gym is to make it part of your social circle. Like you said, it's like you get into the gym, and like for me in particular, that's really my social outlet a lot of the time, meeting with you, doing the podcast, doing some of these things, because there's not a lot of other time. If you want to consistently keep going to the gym, make friends at the gym, make those healthy habits and those friends a part of this new way of life. Just don't go in there, put your head down. You know, it's intimidating, it's scary some of the time, but some of the people working there, I'm sure, would be happy to start conversations with you. And who knows, you might find somebody who's also a kindergarten teacher who also is super exhausted, and you guys start doing workouts together, and it's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh my God. I have these two women who go to my F45 classes now, and they have talked about how they keep each other accountable. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, they'll grab a coffee together. I mean, and that's all. It's not like they're spending hours and hours away from their responsibilities or their family, but they give themselves and each other as a friendship.
Right.
That 1 hour and maybe a half hour afterwards to grab a cup of coffee, to have a conversation. And the way that this is going to affect you physically and mentally is just,
yeah,
it's going to be incredible and noticeable.
Right. Well, looking at some of those emotional aspects and going back to worry and fear, mm-hmm. and what that really does and how that causes disease within the body, because we talked about the adrenal glands and the reproductive hormones specifically that are affected. So you're talking about like worry really affects your stomach. That's why people get stomach aches. That's why they get GI tract issues. The adrenals are really connected to your thyroid, which is then the hormones that are released to essentially loop back into your reproductive organs. And so there's this, like I mentioned, this looping mechanism that keeps going. Then anxiety, which raises your heart rate, raises your blood pressure. You get all of those issues that then you go to the doctor, you get blood pressure medication, whatever it is. So this is why whole health is so important, getting to the core of what and why symptoms are occurring, instead of just treating the symptom themselves. And, you know, those doctor visits where they're just looking at kind of that surface thing and prescribing medication. We really want to tie into how everything's connected. So really looking at those.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about it a little bit on here. You know, if I get sad, you know, or have like a bout of my depression, then that leads to a stress of, for me, because I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting depressed again. Then it leads to stress to, oh my God, I'm going to ruin this, any experience anyone is having with me today because I'm feeling this way. Then it turns into that anxiety. Then that anxiety leads to more stress. All of your hormone levels are contributing to this. Mm-hmm. It turns into that vicious cycle. So Paula, what you were saying of why, what is the root of that? I mean, even if that journey to find that out is a long one,
right,
it is worth finding it out. I am going through that journey myself right now, in total honesty, and it's not a comfortable one and it's not a fun one, but it's a necessary one because I realize that a lot of my stresses are coming from my emotional and mental health. And, you know, I'm almost creating stress. So that's another thing too. Mm-hmm. Like,
don't stress about your stress.
Don't stress about your stress. That's so stressful. Honestly, like it is. And, and you know, when you're dieting, that stress on your body, we've talked about it, the stress of the failure of the diet. So is your diet really realistic? And that's actually going to bring us into this next part that I wanted to talk about, is being realistic.
Right.
And how having realistic goals can either contribute to more stress or less stress.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to set a goal for yourself, there's an acronym called SMART, and it's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-limited goals.
Mm-hmm.
So often you hear just like, I want to do this at some point in my life. And then it just like kind of hovers over you. And you know, you may feel stress of like, either I'm never going to achieve that, or you give yourself an unrealistic time goal of I'm going to lose like 50 pounds in 2 weeks, or just something with work. I'm going to say yes to everything because I feel bad saying no. And then you're just like, you can't catch up. Mm-hmm. You can't catch your breath. You can't find good sleep. You can't eat well. All of those things contribute to your stress and to your health. So when you're setting these goals, to make them attainable, to make them realistic for you, your lifestyle, and what you have going on is of the utmost importance. You know, if you are just joining a gym, we just talked about exercise being a stress reliever. Please don't think that you have to go do a high intensity class 7 days a week.
Mm.
One, you're going to stress your body out physically. You're going to overtrain your body.
Right.
Two, you're going to stress yourself out. Oh my God, what if I don't make it to 7 days a week? I'm not relieving my stress, but this is adding more stress. And I'm so stressed. Like, what are you doing? If 3 days a week is realistic for you to physically go into a gym, make it 3 days a week. Those other days, go for that walk. Go for that stretch. Do a yoga class online. Just like we mentioned, any type of movement is going to help bring those stress levels down. And you need to listen to where you are that day. Not how stressed you were and what you felt and how you wanted to release it yesterday. Not how you think you may want to release stress next week. But what is the best way to move for you today to actually release that stress? And you know what? Sometimes you may have that high intensity class booked in your mind body app or whatever you're using, and sometimes it's not that day. Whether getting to class is adding stress, whether the intensity of it is adding stress, sometimes you just need to be like, I am going to breathe today, and that's going to be my exercise. And that comes to my next point. You know, we wanted to bring in also some low impact moves so that you weren't stressing your body during exercise. And we may not think about breath work as exercise, but it's such an important, well, one, it's important for your movement. If you don't have your breath, you're doing yourself a disservice. Your body's not going to function as well. You're not going to be able to endure as well. You're not going to be able to have as much power, because even, you know, a big jump, your breath can help you with that. But I mean, I don't know if it's just me, Paula, but if you're in a really stressed out situation, do you find yourself naturally just breathing deep and, and that's contributing to stress? Or do you feel like you have really shallow breaths and quick breaths?
Yeah, it's that flight or fight or flight response a lot of the time, especially if you have hereditary or generational stress, or your parents reacted that way.
Ancestral stress.
Absolutely.
I've noticed in myself that even my regular day-to-day, even if I'm not stressed, I am a very shallow breather. I'm a very quick breather. And like, I have to become really mindful of taking deep breaths throughout the day and of finding moments where I focus on my breath. And that's something you could do. I mean, if when you're stressed or when you have anxiety, at least for me, my mind and my body both have physical reactions, right? So my body gets really tense. My heart rate increases. My breath becomes more shallow. I become sweaty and gross and disgusting, which also leads to more stress. It's a lovely, lovely situation. But then your mind, you may become snappy. You may become more irritable. You can't pay attention to things. You're distracted. All of those things. If you breathe, notice how when you take a deep breath, your muscles kind of inherently relax. When you take a deep breath, your mind, because you're focusing on taking that deep breath, maybe you're counting those deep breaths, your mind starts to quiet a little bit. I mean, when you're breathing, you want to ensure, you know, it's not just like, you're not just breathing through your nose. I know we had a whole episode last week about the core and engaging it all the time. But you're not trying to just suck in and only breathe through your nose deeply. That is awkward and uncomfortable and weird. I was just trying to do it and it doesn't really work. So when you are taking these big breaths, when you're exercising your breath, make it those big belly breaths where you are expanding the diaphragm, where you're fully bringing it in, where you have slow exhales. This consistent practice is going to bring more awareness, more mindfulness. Like I said, you just feel your body kind of relaxing into your breath. You could even, I don't know if you've ever taken a yoga class, they tell you breathe into your back. Breathe into, you know, that part of you that feels stuck. That's also mental. Breathe into the parts of you that feel stuck. And I know that that's not like quote unquote movement and exercise or how we think of it, but you are exercising the mind and the body still to support that stress and to not feel it so much.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it speaks to a lot of ancient practices with that. You know, traditional Chinese medicine and ancient Chinese medicine specifically, over 4,000 years old, right? We talk about it as if it is some kind of like fringe health system
here. Or it's just like the hippies or the liberals, yeah, or like the woo-woo people who just discovered it.
Right. In America, we're starting to slowly, you know, you see more advertisements for supplements that are herbal-based and everything. We're slowly getting toward that, but people still don't trust it unless there's some kind of science-based behind it. But really, you know, over 4,000 years of practice and over millions and millions of case studies with Chinese medicine that have brought us to this point. It's not rocket science. It really is not. It didn't take 4,000 years for them to figure it out. They figured it out pretty quickly. It just works so well because they kept it so simple, you know, like keep it simple, stupid, like the whole smart, sometimes people say that. It's really that simple a lot of the time. So don't overcomplicate some of these things. For example, the food that you eat looks a lot like the body parts that it might contribute to when you're talking about a whole health diet.
I love this.
Carrots, you cut a carrot in kind of the end of it off, right? And it's a circle with another circle inside. It reminds me a little bit of like a tree trunk or whatever. But it also reminds me of the eye. Now, when you talk about science-based, there's a ton of science behind the fact that beta carotene within carrots is so important and vital to eye health. Well, you know, the Chinese knew this forever ago, right? A walnut, you know, even just a half of a walnut looks like what? A brain. And there's plenty of science with it now, but with the high in omega-3 supporting your brain health, but no brainer, walnuts help brain health. Another one, beets. It's like this big, round, bloody thing, right? That kind of bleeds a lot like a heart. And, you know, it increases performance. It helps with heart health. It helps with, you know, iron deficiency, NO2 supplement. Like, it's so important for cardiovascular health and performance that really, if you're going on a long distance run, beet juice is probably the best thing you can do for your performance. And so it's looking at some of these things and really simplifying it. So when we're talking about the adrenal gland issues that we've mentioned before, and you want a whole health diet, this is what you should be looking at. Eat blue, purple, dark green, or black fruits and vegetables, right? Those things that are going to be really nutrient dense that are focused on the adrenal glands. If you have stomach issues, look at orange foods like squash and pumpkin that are going to be more nurturing to those aspects of your body. Looking at yellow foods if you need immune boosting support, even chicken broth, right? If you were one of those that grew up and you got chicken noodle soup or maybe you got like ginger ale, we're not talking about that kind of generic soup in a can. We're not talking about giving your kid ginger ale to calm their stomach because it's a bunch of sugar. It's not going to calm their stomach. If anything, they're going to have like a candida issue afterwards because their body can't handle more stress on it. I'm talking about real like bone broth, chicken broth, things like that, that you can incorporate into your diet. And when we go back to these aspects of energetics that I talk about all of the time, we look at warming and bitter foods that are kind of heating up the body. And if you are somebody who eats a lot of bitter food, and with that, I mean, you know, like greens and mixed greens and things that are a little, have a little more of a tinge to it, they fight that candida, that overgrowth in your GI tract. Why? Because the overgrowth is like that wet, moist, swampy aspect of your GI tract that we talk about, the energetics of moist and wet that allow that growth to happen. It's like mold within the GI tract. Well, how do you off, you know, balance that with something? It's warm and drying and bitter foods. So really looking at energetics and just kind of connecting the dots in a very simplistic way that can help you with a lot of those things. If you're not having bitter, warming foods, maybe you're more of a damp person. And that particular for me, I stay away from warm foods because I've said in the past, I'm more of a warm person, but I'm also more of a damp person. So looking at the energetics, looking at some of those things, how can you balance that off? It's really that easy. Nutrition is not rocket science. You know, people try to make it rocket science, but it's really simple. Keep it simple.
Yeah. And that goes with your low impact exercises as well. You know, it's so easy. We've talked about gym intimidation all the time. I've heard it countlessly from people. Oh, I can't join that gym because I'm not fit enough yet. Or I need to exercise a little bit more and then I could go into that gym. It shouldn't be that way because literally every move is scalable. You just need to break it down and simplify it or just eliminate one aspect of it. So I love that she was talking about keeping it simple because it's the same exact when you apply it to simplifying exercises or making them low impact. Any movement that has a jump, that jump can be eliminated. Whether you are doing jump lunges, squat jumps, high knees, burpees, pop jacks, you either walk it out or you just simply eliminate that jump. If you have a jump lunge, you have a handful of lunge variations that you could do and eliminate that jump. Mm-hmm. And you're keeping your joints a little safer. You're listening to your body and you're still moving it and you're still strengthening and you're still engaging. I mean, whether I did a low impact exercise or a yoga focused exercise or Pilates or I took a walk or I did high intensity, that hour is the only hour of the day my mind is quiet. It has taken me years to realize that. But after working out for as long as I have, I have recognized that it is my quiet time for my mind, and that is that stress relief. So even if you are eliminating that jump and you see everyone around you jumping, do not think that you are less, do not think you're getting less benefit or that your mind is not gonna still reap the benefits of movement in general. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you know, wanna try those moves, but you wanna keep them low impact, let's say you need to start really low impact, eliminating all jumps. And you're trying to build just a little bit, but you still have to stay mindful. You can jump and make it a more low impact jump. And there are a couple ways that you could do that. One, and the most important thing, and I talked to Paul about this, is to learn how to absorb the impact of your landing. Mm. So when you hear your trainer or your coach say, when you're doing a jump squat, land with bent knees. That's what they mean by absorbing the impact. Imagine you jump really high and you land with straight legs. Mm-hmm. That is high impact. If you can learn to absorb that movement, then you can make it less impact than just a regular jump. That being said, what you can also practice is landing quietly.
Right.
And that is, we literally just had this conversation in one of our sessions together. I brought this up to other people recently in boot camps because I was watching people do box jumps. Mm. And they slam down. Oh, I feel it. Like it like kind of gives me like the shivers because I could just imagine the impact on their joints. And it sounds kind of like a weird thing, but honestly, and Paula, tell me if I'm wrong, but I could say to you, land softly, and that may sound weird. But when you think about and you kind of can notice that change, it's a very possible thing to access, I would say.
Yeah, right? And it's almost harder because you're not releasing tension within your body too quickly. You're holding that tension throughout the entire move until you're completely done with the move, and then you release and then you let go. But if you're not landing softly, you're not in the bent knees, and I've seen this now that we do it all the time. I see it in the gym when I go to the gym that people do, especially if they're trying to do something faster, and you hear them stomping, you see them landing with straight legs. And you're not getting the full impact of that move either.
No.
Without really keeping it till the end.
Oh, God. And think about the impact and the stress that you are putting on your body. And that's not a positive stress. I mean, I'll say it once and I'll say it 1,000 times. You have to earn the right to move powerfully. You have to earn the right to increase your weight. You have to earn the right to move fast. Mm-hmm. If you cannot control your form, and that was what I was going to say, whatever exercise you choose, mm-hmm. whether you are just walking or whether you are doing a CrossFit class, mm-hmm. if you are not doing it with your form in mind, then you're adding stress to your body mm-hmm. and you're doing yourself a disservice. So whether it is the simplest move or the most complex, keep that in mind. That being said, you know, power push-ups, so many people, you know, when you try to like lift off of the ground, this may be very specific, but I see people try it, especially if they're in classes, like classes that are already created, like, you know, Orange Theories, Equinoxes or F45s or whatever these like pre-made classes are,
right.
Land softly in your elbows, land with that bend. Just like you would your knees. Don't lock out. That's stress on the joints. Mm-hmm. Don't let your shoulders creep up to your ears. That's stress in your neck. Don't crank your neck. I see it all the time. People trying to look at themselves in the mirror and then they really lay into their cervical spine. That first day that you do it, you're not going to feel the stress. Mm-hmm. The 100th day that you do that, you are going to feel the stress that you have imparted on your body. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a difference between adding tension and intensity and adding stress.
Right.
They're very different. Mm-hmm. Use a support if you need to. TRX is an extremely valuable low impact tool. If you can't afford the TRX, just get another version of a suspension trainer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be the name brand for you to get that. Focus on balance and stability moves instead of power moves. Like I said, everything is scalable. I'm almost done. Elliptical over the treadmill, the rower over the treadmill. I mean, look, run. If you can run, if your body can absorb that, if it feels good to you. But if you can't run anymore, rowing is such a low impact move that engages 84% of your muscles, which is pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Swim.
Right.
When I was recovering from my accident, I could not put any weight on my leg whatsoever. And I would have amazing workouts in the pool, whether that was laps or whether you're like doing some type of ab movement or even some type of squat movement in the water. It's an incredible resistance that will not have a negative effect on the body whatsoever.
Right.
The only thing I'll leave you with is that low impact does not mean low intensity. It does not mean low effort. It does not mean low engagement. Okay. So don't get that confused. If you have to go into a low impact workout for whatever reason, don't think any less of that workout. Mm-hmm. It could still be very, very beneficial, very, very powerful, very strong. So just don't let your mind and your ego get in the way of what a low impact workout can do for you, especially when you're trying to relieve stress from your mind and your body.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I can speak to that from personal experience because a lot of those stabilizing muscles and the slow movement, working with bands, has greatly increased my ability to do more high intensity or fast moving workouts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even just the ability to run uphill on the treadmill for a short amount of time and things that I wasn't able to do before, because I'm one of those people, I'm terrified of the treadmill. I don't know what it is. My balance is thrown off when I'm on that thing. Like I cannot for the life of me run. But if you're at Orange Theory, you run on the treadmill. That's what you do. And so building up to that point, but it was a lot of more slow stabilizing focus before that to then get there. And I think that's really important. But moving toward the end of this, you know, we've built you up to make sure you're really getting that foundation before we just throw herbs at you, before we throw other things at you. But here are two herbs that I really enjoy. And a lot of the time we talk about adaptogens because they are really important. These I use on a regular basis, and so I wanted to bring them in. So reishi, which is a mushroom, and you can get this in tincture form. You can get it in powder form. I have it in a tincture form, and I just put it in my tea in the morning and things. Mm. Fantastic. So it's more energetic, so kind of bitter, cold, drying. And interestingly enough, it's a mushroom that kind of looks a little bit like a kidney or something. And it supports kidney and the adrenal glands and also helps to prevent baldness. So, I mean, I use it for a little bit of that. I use it for the adaptogen effects to it. You know, all of those things. So when you're talking about your chi and supporting kind of long-term health, that battery life, that, you know, life force that you have, this is a fantastic one to use. It's antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. It's an antioxidant, antiviral. It's a cardiac tonic. So it's going to support a lot of those, especially if you are moving. And there's immune support in there as well. So it's one that you can, it's really rejuvenating in a whole health way. Mm-hmm. So just incorporating that maybe in the morning and a tea or something. Tinctures, like I said, are really easy. I'm not particularly one who likes to eat mushrooms, so I have to take them in different forms. Mm-hmm. And then foti, which is just F-O-T-I. And that is really an anti-aging herb for the most part as an adaptogen. You know, we talk about just the health and prevention of a lot of different conditions. So, you know, I hate to throw around, and I see this a lot with a lot of things like cancer prevention, because for those that are in that stage that are experiencing those things in life, a lot of the time you're so stressed out and so looking for an exact answer that you unfortunately get taken advantage of in the health industry. You buy into supplements and other things to try to help your body or maybe a loved one's body through cancer, you know, but this is one that potentially could help relieve a lot of the other negative effects that happen when your body is in that stage. Heart disease, memory problems, like we mentioned before when we talked directly about the hypothalamus, this is a really great one. Skin health, it really is, like I said, more of an anti-aging kind of life force, a rejuvenating kind of herb. The one that we hear about a lot that I've never mentioned on the show, I don't believe I have at least, is ginseng. Right? We hear about that all the time, especially when you think about like Chinese medicine and vitality, right? Very, very strong herb. I mean, if you want to like get that jolt in the morning, you know, that's better than coffee a lot of the time. But it's not really something that's needed unless you're already on the second half of your life. You're over the hill. Ginseng is really used for like men over 50 to build up that vitality again. You should not be really taking ginseng if you're young, if you have decent energy, you know, if it's your body can really use, like if you're a man and you're trying to build up stamina and maybe you're in a relationship and you're looking for something that's going to aid in a lot of things like erectile dysfunction and things, ashwagandha is going to be your better alternative than ginseng. But ginseng is one that can help men over 50 with just continuing to get that energy to keep going. But that's why I haven't really mentioned it too much on the show. We don't have any 50-year-old male listeners. So
probably not too many. No.
Not according to our stats. So the last thing that I'll leave you with, and it's on our Patreon, and there'll be a link in the show notes, is an adaptogenic herbal coffee blend. So I'm one of those that really wakes up tired some of the time that, you know, would used to reach for that coffee and just guzzle that down to kind of get through my morning. This is a blend of herbs that'll allow you to still get that boost, but then will support your whole health. It's not something that's going to negatively affect you, that's going to stop you from being able to sleep, that's going to keep going in that adrenal fatigue kind of cycle. And, you know, it's got chicory root, dandelion, burdock, cinnamon, maca, we've talked about, you know, all of these fantastic herbs in it. And you can go ahead and check that out on the Patreon. And then it also says, if you really are a coffee lover and you're like, I'm not doing that, I need my coffee, there's some herbs that you can add to your coffee to at least get a little more immune boosting. Particularly for me, I like elderberry in my coffee. It sweetens it. It kind of cuts a little bit of that bitterness out. And elderberry is fantastic for overall immune support.
Nice. Oh, I love that because I bet you so many people reach for that coffee. I mean, that could even be another stress pathway. Like you have everything that you need to get done and you increase like that jittery feeling because you need to stay awake. So you have more caffeine and this and that, but you're even, you know, with that caffeine, you're not supporting yourself in other ways. And sometimes it almost has that adverse effect, which then leads to more stress.
Right.
So yeah, thank you so much for all of that information, Paula. And you know, just to wrap up the exercise portion, I saw this really nice quote that I liked. And it said, you'll begin to tolerate exercise, then you'll enjoy it, and then you'll start to depend on it.
Nice.
And I think that is really powerful, especially for what we're talking about, because all of these things, they should just be in support of you and medicine for you. So with that being said, that's a wrap. Peace and love.
And just as a reminder, any ideas or topics discussed during this podcast should not be a replacement for any type of medical advice. Although Danielle is a certified trainer and I have a knowledge of herbal medicine, any decision to incorporate an exercise or herbal remedy is always your own.